this show, there will be discussions of the true crime variety. Murder, mayhem, violence, and adult themes will be talked of. Listener discretion is advised. Heyo, murderinos! This is the Queen of True Crime Pods, Grace. And I am on the case. That was silly, I'm sorry. I took a week vacation, and while I swore off working on the pod, I still listened to a bunch of gore anyway. Because those dishes aren't gonna, you know, wash themselves, so at least I'll have something to listen to. But I'm back at my day job, and I'm using my brain power for listening to podcasts. You're very welcome. We will do today a deep dive into Voices for Justice. It was one of my all-time favorites, but deep dive worthy pods. Then I'll take you on a grand tour of the weekly lineup till finally we can laugh it up with my absolute favorites. So pour yourself something liquid and non-toxic and enjoy the show. It's a deep dive. Deep dive. The deep dive we are doing today is Voices for Justice. I hope to do this particular pod some justice. It is a very important case. It's very timely, and it has to be told. So the host is Sarah Turney. She launched this podcast on July 11th, 2019. Sarah is the younger sister of Alyssa Turney, who went missing in 2001 when she was 17 years old. Sarah was the final family member and the youngest to support her father, Michael Turney, the only suspect in Alyssa's disappearance. Her faith in him crumbled after his bomb trial, and detectives pointed to evidence that make him look incredibly suspicious. She started the pod to gain media attention, but it was really through TikTok that it gained the attention needed to make prosecutors notice. On August 20th, 2020, Michael Turney was arrested and awaits trial for the death of Alyssa Turney, his stepdaughter. Sarah has currently halted her pod for the upcoming trial, so she's not currently specifically talking about it, but she is bringing in like other interviews and things that would somewhat relate to the case without actually talking about it for the sake of the trial. So this crime happened in Phoenix, Arizona. But you don't have to live there to care. You can go onto justiceforalyssa.com or Voices for Justice to get all the latest updates and to find out how you can help. So this pod really exists so that Sarah could raise enough media attention to take her sister's nobody homicide to trial and to get prosecutors to hold Michael Turney accountable for her murder. So I'm going to give you the story and some real fast facts. Alyssa was pulled from the last day of school early by her stepfather, Michael Turney. Alyssa peeked into her boyfriend's classroom before leaving to say, like, see you later. Friends claimed there was a party she was gonna go to that evening, but she never showed up, and because her father was so controlling of her, I think they kind of figured that he just wasn't gonna let her out anyway. Michael claims that he and Alyssa argued, and he left to run errands and to pick up Alyssa's little sister, Sarah. When they came back home, Alyssa was gone, leaving a note. It said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, this isn't exactly what it says. She decided to leave for California after all. Sarah, you wanted me gone. Now you got it. Dad, I took $300 from you. I think it was three or five. I don't, like I said, I remember, I've listened to enough of the podcast to basically know the gist of it. I just didn't go back and look it up. I probably should have anyway. But Michael reported Alyssa as a runaway, so there was no follow-up for years until some random prisoner makes a false confession about killing Alyssa, and detectives look deeper into her disappearance. So after a search warrant was issued into Michael's home, he actually moved across the street, so they had a search warrant for both houses. And instead of, you know, anything related to Alyssa necessarily, they found a crap ton of pipe bombs and a lengthy manifesto about attacking the Union Hall. He was sentenced to 10 years for the bombs. But the things that were related to Alyssa that they did find was tons of home, like, security tapes, home movies, phone recordings. They really found that Michael was extremely paranoid. He had cameras set up all around the house, in the house, and had passively been recording all phone calls going in and out. So it's weird because the cameras are in the living room in the vents and specifically looking at Alyssa. So I don't know what exactly they found, but it was pretty damning. But when he was released, Sarah was told he would be arrested for the disappearance of Alyssa, but this didn't happen. She was told no body, no murder, not enough evidence, get media attention. After this, she kind of went covert, set up a meeting with her dad, and recording what could be called a half-confession from him. I mean, he said, "Meet me at the deathbed, and I'll give you all the honest answers you want." And that's pretty bad. She started to gain huge following when she started TikTok. That's when it just blew up. Enough pressure was put on the prosecutor. And on August 20th, 2020, Michael Turney was arrested and due to stand trial for her disappearance and obvious murder. So, that is the story of Alyssa Turney. I actually heard her story on a couple different podcasts before deciding to check out Voices for Justice. Voices for Justice is great. Sarah is extremely involved with the case and extremely passionate about getting justice for her older sister. It is absolutely worth a listen. It is absolutely imperative that, that you go support her. Go to the Justice for Alyssa right now. I'm gonna end up ruining this recording. But yeah, so hopefully you guys will now want to check out Voices for Justice. This segment we like to call The Weeklies. For all those weekly cases, you know. The next topic of the week, I listened to The Fall Line. This one was the victims of Samuel Little. According to the episode description, the first episode in this four-part series begins with serial killer Samuel Little and how he nearly got away with four decades of murder. Law enforcement is seeking public assistance in identifying Little's unmatched confessions and Jane Doe victims. You can visit our website or our Instagram to see forensic art of victims covered in each episode. If you have any information, call 1-800-CALL-FBI or visit tips.fbi.gov. Now, Samuel Little is also I guess we could call a new serial killer. He is a bit older now, but is looking like he might be real bad guy. He's also an artist of sorts, and he has drawn his victims. I believe after I'm done recording this, I might look them up to see. I doubt I will know anybody, but it doesn't hurt to look to, who knows? You never know if you know somebody who knows somebody, and that could really help a family find their missing loved one. So, we are the first of this series came out. It was scary, and I suspect that the next three episodes that will come out will also chill me to my very core as well. True Crime Garage was another great pod that came out this week. They had decided to do the disappearance of Veronica Bloomhorst. They had part 1 and 2 come out this week. According to the episode description, this week we feature the case of a strange disappearance of a young woman back from 1990 in Mendota, Illinois. As of this week, it will be 30 years since anyone has seen Veronica Bloomhorst. For years, Veronica's little brother Todd kept the investigation organized and ongoing. Recently, new information has come out that we could possibly be dealing with a cover-up. So, great job, guys. Thanks for bringing another case that I've never heard of to the forefront so that we can hopefully find some justice and some peace for this family after 30 years. So, this past week on Serial Killers, they had done the Ken and Barbie Killers. These two idiots come out of these two dumb, sadistic motherfuckers are from Canada. And according to the episode description, when is part 1 and part 2, so I'll just read them both together. When Paul Bernardo met his bride-to-be, Carla Homolka, on October 1987, he had already raped his first victim. But Paul's sadistic sexual appetite only seemed to deepen Carla's desire for him. And when his sick interest turned toward her 15-year-old sister, Carla let one thing guide her next move, her unrelenting need to please him. On the outside, Carla Homolka and Paul Bernardo appeared to be a perfect couple, but they held a dark secret. Paul's sadistic aggressions were seemingly unstoppable, spurred on by Carla's compliance. The secrets and the bodies piled up. Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka give me the willies. They seem to really disgust me on a whole nother level. So yeah, thanks for making me, hate more people. Serial Killers from Parcast. And on the Murder Squad, they came out with an episode on September 14th, and then another one just yesterday. So hopefully I'll be able to, tell you more about them. I'm gonna go ahead and first start off with the search for Mr. Cruel. So according to the episode description, Billy and Paul look into the unsolved cases of Mr. Cruel out of Melbourne, Australia in the late 1980s and early 1990s. The unknown offender attacked 4 young girls, creating terror. He wore a black ski mask and was usually armed with a knife and gun. Despite law enforcement knocking on over 30,000 doors, Mr. Cruel has never been caught. And much like a lot of the Murder Squad's cases, a lot of times they are looking to resolve the case. So you won't have the squeaky clean resolution that you would normally get from, say, a Dateline episode. The second episode they came out with just yesterday, I thought was incredibly important to share because these also are two separate cases that are not even in the same area, but they are separate missing persons cases. So, according to this episode description, it is Paul and Billy look into two separate missing persons cases this week. The first, 16-year-old Lashea Stein, left her home in Aurora, Colorado on June 16, 2016, around 2 a.m. Her mother believes she went out to meet someone, but she never returned home. The second is 18-year-old Brooklyn Farthing, went to a party in Berea, Kentucky. She was in contact with family and friends until the early morning hours of June 22, 2013, before texting, "I'm scared." Guys, I'm scared. So, check that out, and let's see if we can lend a hand to maybe solve those crimes. You know, it's just one of the reasons why I enjoy, or not just enjoy, I feel that listening to true crime podcasts is important. this portion of my absolute favorite podcast. We have double trouble because I got two episodes of True Crime Obsessed and two episodes of Wine and Crime. So I'll start with the Wine and Crime portion because they're my favorite and I love them. I love them so much. So the first one that they put out on September 14th is episode 21, Gossip at the Corpse Cart. Now, according to the episode description, this month's installment of Gossip at the Corpse Cart delivers saucy nugs, a gator tamed by love, an accidental funeral crash, some sobering poetry, and a very seasonally appropriate obit. Obit, of course, short for obituaries. So those are always fun. The obituaries are funny. The it's fun. It's a good time. It's a good little mashup of their kind of their offbeat things that they like to talk about when they're not talking about true crime cases. So check out Gossip at the Corpse Cart. The next episode, this is actually back to their actual Wine and Crime show, not a Gossip at the Corpse Cart. So we're at episode 187. It was released September 17th. And this is Sorority Crimes. So according to the episode description, this week, the gals swallow the sisterhood pill and take a peek inside Greek life. Topics include the dark history of hazing, an email lashing for the history books, and the tragic death and cover-up of two promising pledges. Pour a solo cupful of Beringer White Zinfandel, embrace dorm life, and tune in for Sorority Crimes. Did. Done. It was fantastic. The next thing we're going to get into is our True Crime Obsessed. They have absolutely floored me with these next couple episodes. The first was Heidi Fleiss, which is just, this was a train wreck. But on True Crime Obsessed, the Heidi Fleiss, the would-be Madame of Crystal is the name of the episode, 149. According to their episode description, sex, drugs, exotic birds? You all know Heidi Fleiss, right? The Madame of the 90s with the infamous black book who got busted for selling sex but never, like, named names, so took the fall for all the people who used her services? We see you, Charlie Sheen, you pile of human garbage. Anyway, after an encounter with Roseanne Garbage Barr, she decides to move to Nevada to open a stud farm. What's a stud farm, you ask? It's apparently a brothel full of heterosexual men who are hired to have sex with women. To which we say, if everyone is consenting, great, but it's not gonna happen. You know it, I know it, the people of Nevada know it, but Heidi Fleiss doesn't know it. But this film crew is gonna follow her around for 10 months anyway. Ugh, this one is a mess. And I have to agree, it's a hot mess. And it's kind of, again, sad because Heidi Fleiss is a damn mess. It was pretty funny, though. As always, True Crime Obsessed, you guys make me laugh. But the absolute best is episode 150, released on September 17th. It was I Will Be Gone in the Dark. Episode 1, Murder Habit. So HBO put out their I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is the show that is about Michelle McNamara and her obsession with the Golden State Killer and how she died before he was caught, but she had such a hand in bringing that about. So what TCO likes to do is they'll put out an episode from a series and give you like that first episode teaser. And then if you pay for their Patreon at the $5 level, you get all of their media, including the rest of the episodes for I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I listened to this episode twice, almost three times, because it was so good. First off, the documentary itself was amazing. And this episode of it, True Crime Obsessed, and their take on it was awesome. According to their episode description, we're so excited to share episode 1 of our Patreon coverage of I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It is truly one of the best series we've ever covered, and we think it's some of our best work. Guys, I agree. It's amazing. So next week we'll be going on to some of the new episodes that just dropped today. As you know, I'm going and dropping them the week of, and then I get like all my new episodes to do for the next week. You don't have to know that. Now, after those double troubles are out of the way, Obsessed with Disappeared had come out with their show. This one is The Disappearance of John and Liz Culvert, episode 18. It was released September 16th, and the episode description is thus. At 4 p.m. on March 3rd, 2008, John and Liz Culvert walked into a meeting with their accountant, Dennis Gerwing, and John and Liz were never seen again. Though investigators would quickly realize that the Gerwing had been stealing money from the couple, no clues emerge about their whereabouts. And when Gerwing lawyers up rather than speaking to the cops, they know he's the guy, but can they prove it? Did Gerwing kill John and Liz? And if so, how and where? They met in broad daylight in Gerwing's office, so there were no signs of foul play. So where the hell are John and Liz? I would love to know that too. I'm sure everyone would. So if you guys don't know, Obsessed with Disappeared is their recap of Disappeared on ID channel. So they're going through all of that with Patrick Hines and Ellen Marsh. You guys always do a great job making me laugh at something truly terrible. So yeah, I think is that going to be it for my all-time favorites? I think so. I think so for now because I have a lot more to listen to. In fact, I started writing down all of my episode 5, getting that planned out. And yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to all these new drops of new podcasts coming out. I cannot wait to talk about it next week. If you'd like to follow me on Facebook, you can do so at Grace's World of True Crime Podcast. I am at Grace True Crime. You can follow me on Instagram at Grace's World of True Crime Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm also at Grace's World of True Crime Podcast. If you want to follow me on Anchor, or actually, if you want to support me on Anchor, you can do so as well. Just go on to anchor.fm and click on Grace's World of True Crime Podcast, and you can go ahead and donate if you so wish. But otherwise, guys, I'm looking forward to another episode next week, and I cannot wait to tell you all about the true crime that I've been listening to all week. Stay sane out there, and bye. And I just felt like playing you guys out a little something nice, you know? Good luck, everybody. Don't be an irony. We love you. Bye. Next time. Goodbye. See ya.